Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is continuing his sermon series titled, The Nature of Sin. Today, we conclude the sermon we aired yesterday. If you're traveling along with us on this journey, open your Bibles and let's listen and learn.
Out of the heart of men. And I want you to notice the first thing he says after that is, proceed evil thoughts. There's a reason he mentions that one first, because everything else that follows that comes from what? Evil thoughts. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. And everything else comes from that. Fornications. You can't fornicate until you think about it first. You got to think of who, a time, and a place. You just don't jump up one day and fornicate. I don't know what happened. I was fornicating. You got to think that mess through first. And it starts in your sin nature. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, slander, pride, and foolishness. The Lord goes on to say, all these things proceed from within and defile the man. When Jesus says in these verses, the evil comes from within a person's heart or his imagination, it's the same thing God saw in Genesis 6 and 5. He saw that the hearts of men and their thoughts was only evil continuously. And that's the same thing Jesus is reiterating right here. Let me get Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says this. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and it is desperately sick. Who can understand it? God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. When Jeremiah talks about the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, he is talking about the sin nature in every human being. The sin nature we all know is there based upon what we imagine in our hearts and in our minds. And when the Lord in verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each according to his ways, what God is saying is he does and he will condemn men justly based upon their sin nature of what is in their hearts and in their minds, even when they do not commit the sin they are imagining. Now, the rest of the verse also says God will condemn and judge based upon ways and deeds. But these things come from what? An evil heart. They come from a sin nature. That is what is so disgusting to God. What's on the inside? See, most of us are like the Pharisees when Jesus said, y'all trying to clean the inside of the cup by washing the outside. And he said, you ain't nothing inside, ain't nothing but a bunch of dead men's bones. See, they were trying to clean the outside. You know, try that at home. An old, nasty, dirty cup, flies been all in it, amen. And you just wash the outside. Now take a drink. I know some of y'all, you like me. If I see a cup like that, you know, washing ain't enough. Give me some bleach, amen. And that thing going down full strength, amen. Ain't no, you know, the direct, a one part bleach. Nah. Big green fly. Bleach. 10, 15 minutes. Amen. I wanted it there so long it scorched the color off the cup. Amen. See, but that's us. We, Jesus said, you know, you're trying to clean the inside of the cup by cleaning the outside. What he's trying to say is what's important is what's on the inside. See, all of this is the sin nature we inherited from our parents through our fathers. And all of this is the reason why it is absurd for any person to think they have been, are being, or will be saved based upon any human work or righteousness. For there is no work any of us can do to cleanse ourselves of our sin nature. We can't cleanse ourselves of our evil thoughts. We can't cleanse ourselves of our evil imaginations or our evil hearts. None of us can take a pickaxe and dig what is in our hearts out of us. You can't shout it out. You can't praise it out. I'm hearing people today talking about when I praise God, then that's a portal for God to speak to me. You ain't doing nothing but shouting yourself to hell. Amen. You can't shout the sin nature out of you. You can't baptize it out of you. I don't care how many times you go down. And I don't care what name you go down in. It can't deal with what's in the heart, that sin nature. You cannot live it out of you. You can't get that out of you by dressing like you came from the 19th century. And you're still driving a horse and a buggy rather than an automobile. Have y'all been reading the news and watching the news? With the Amish. They got the beard, the hat, the horse and buggy, and just as sinful as anybody else. And it was quite comical to see the mugshot or the beard. Did y'all see that? See, they really think living like that is going to do it. It's not doing a thing for them. See, all of what you see down there cutting off each other's beards, and that's the sin nature that has not been dealt with. Amen. This is why it is utter foolishness for any person to think the reason they are saved and will enter heaven's gates is because they are physically abstaining from certain sins, holding on, holding out. You see, beloved, these people who are holding out and holding on, running, trying to make 199 and a half won't do. They still have a sin nature which produces evil imaginations from God's point of view. This damns the soul to hell because even our unholy thoughts are offensive to the holiness of God. That's why Jesus said, if a man even looks on a woman to commit adultery, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. People, some of them I really believe have been saved, who still believe they're holding out and holding on to be saved, they don't understand how deep man's sin issue really is. And the deepness of man's sin issue is the reason why God has clearly stated in his word, Galatians 2:16, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. So we all have a terrible problem. And you know it's bad. It'll mess with you when you're in church. Now y'all ain't got to tell us what you thought. Amen. But you know, you can be sitting up in church and whoop. Y'all know, you be trying to talk about where'd that come from. You ought to know where it came from. That's you. Amen. It's your sin nature. You in church. I wish pastor would sit down. Tired of him today. Now I know they ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's your sin nature. I'm just going to keep it real today. The men can be as prayed up. They could have prayed so hard. Fire was almost ready to fall out of the sky like Elijah. You didn't pray, fasted, read all the way through the book of John. And 2 minutes later, a sister walked by. Or a woman walked by. And she's either scantily dressed. Or what she got on is tight. And I guarantee you, your thoughts are not holy. Why is that? We have a sin nature. Now, I know the women don't have that problem because they've told me they like character. So y'all women have a discussion after church and talk about whatever, however you guys manifest yourself, because I've been told we don't have that problem. We like character.
Gentiles
care. All right. Now, y'all remember, we got communion following church. Amen. Yeah, I remember we got communion today. Amen. Honesty. Search yourself. Amen. Judge yourself. For this reason, many are sick, and some are dead. Amen. You know, that's why I know for any man to think he really living his way in, you're out of your mind. Amen. Let me move on. The sin nature has various effects upon the person of man. Number one, it affects man's mind. The sin nature affects the mind. Romans 1:28 says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." Remember, the sin nature, it makes man bent more towards sin and more towards his flesh than God. This is what moves men not to want to acknowledge God or to retain God in his knowledge. The sin nature affects man's thinking. And you see it inside, because we are constantly telling God we don't want you in our world. Men are telling God through their behavior and their actions, we don't want God in our world. But it's not your world, it's God's. Amen. Amen. But we are telling God we don't want you, we don't want to hear from you, we don't want to hear your word, we don't want your morality, we don't want anything to do with you. Men are telling God every day we do not want God in our world. And I know I got to move on, but God, one day during the tribulation, God's going to say, "All right, I'm going to give you a little of it." Yeah. During the tribulation, God is going to withdraw himself totally. And he's going to say, "You didn't want me in your world. Now here is what you get when I'm not in your world restraining evil." And the Bible says men will pray for death and it will not come. It'll be so bad. Man is so messed up in his mind, he's telling God, "I don't want you in my world." This whole homosexual marriage thing, it's man telling God, "We don't want you in this world. We don't want the order you have in this world." I was in the bank the other day. Young man in there. It's quite obvious he's gay. You know, anytime I see a man plucking his eyebrows, and he do it good too, amen. And got on a little something, something, and so I was in there the other day, and he was showing everybody his ring. "Yes, we got married, and we're just so excited." And everybody was in there celebrating. And I'm only knucklehead standing in line like this. And I'm praying, "Lord, please don't let him say anything to me about how you feel, or aren't you excited? Cause y'all know me, amen. I know I ain't excited about you marrying another guy." See, we don't want God in our world. See, because the sin nature, it gives us a depraved mind. It gives us what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. See, not wanting to have God in your knowledge and not wanting to acknowledge God is definitely a mind problem. This is what sin does to the mind, or how sin corrupts the mind to such an extent that it does not work as it should. Now, the point Paul talks about in Romans 1:28 is the effect of sin, of the sin nature on the mind in its most extreme case. We don't want God. Yet the sin nature corrupting the ability of humans to think logically, soberly, and from a biblical framework, it is evident to a lesser extent throughout society. When believers, true Christians, those who have repented of sin and confessed Christ as Savior, vocally express how repugnant homosexual marriage is to God, the world actually doesn't get it. The reason is the human mind cannot think properly because of the sin nature in man. When the believer says to the world, it's not a good thing to mess with Israel, for God has clearly stated in the Bible to Abraham, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse," Genesis 12:3, and then give them the historical proof that's always happened. When you tell them that, they just don't get it. Why? The sin nature depraves the mind. And then number two, the sin nature, it affects man's conscience. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. The conscience is the aspect of a person's makeup which gives them the sense of right or wrong. It is the aspect of a person's spiritual makeup which urges him or her to do right rather than wrong. There are many today who have no conscience or very little conscience. They have no or very little conscience of breaking into your house and robbing you blind, no matter whether you are not at home or what. Today you can be at home. They're just coming in. Amen. No conscience. People will vandalize church property, break in and steal from a church, and they have no or very little sense of doing wrong. Why are they like this? They are like this because their conscience has been seared with the hot branding iron. All of this is a result of the sin nature of man, contaminating man's sense of right and wrong, contaminating his conscience. Number three, it influences man to sin. The reason why you sin is because you have a sin nature. You are not a sinner because you sin. You're not a sinner because you fornicate or drank. You drank and fornicate because you are a sinner. Sin don't make you the sinner. What makes you the sinner is you have a sin nature. And so the sin nature, it influences man to sin. You know, why do all of us find ourselves doing things we know are wrong? We know the Bible clearly says they are sin. We promise God and ourselves, I'm not going to do it again. Yet we creep back into it. Why? It is our sin nature. Why would people get on Jerry Springer and act a fool? Amen. It is man's sin nature. Why would a group of folks kill somebody and have massive violent demonstrations over one little movie on YouTube? It is man's sin nature. And then last, and I'm out of here. What is God's remedy for all of this? Because we can't do nothing about it. What is God's remedy for man's sin nature, a sin nature which absolutely dooms him to hell? God has done two things to solve our sin nature problem, and they are as follows. Number one, God put our sin nature to death in Christ when Jesus died in our place on the cross. Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, that our old self, that's the sin nature, was crucified with him, Christ, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we are no longer slaves. God put that old sin nature man to death. In the infinite mind of God, a mind none of us can fully fathom, when Christ died on the cross and cried out, "It is finished!" God put the believer's old man, that sin nature, to death. And at the same, he did it at the same time the Lord, the Bible says, he gave up the ghost, or he breathed his last. God put the old man to death. To make a deep theological point, simple and short, what this means is this. The sin nature no longer has control or dominion over the believer to such an extent that sin, it no longer dominates his or her life. We are no longer slaves to sin. I want you to take careful note that we did not do this for ourselves, but God graciously and according to his love for us, in our infinitely deplorable sin-saturated condition, he did it for us through Jesus' death on the cross. God put the old man to death for those who are trusting in Christ to be saved, and therefore the sin nature no longer controls us. Now, he won't totally do away with it until the day we stand before the Lord and these bodies have been changed. We have the power to say no to sin. Why is that now? When you came to Christ, God put that old man to death. Why is it now you are repugnant by people doing the same stuff you used to do? God put the old man to death. Why is it, you know? Well, let me move on. Put him to death. no longer control. We have the power to say no to sin. We are now convicted of our sin when we do sin. We are convicted by the word of God when it exposes our sin. And we are driven to confess our sins before God when we do sin. And the more mature we become in our relationship with the Lord, the more repugnant our sin and everyone else's sin is to us. Paul perfectly summed this up in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. I know that God has dealt with this sin nature in my life. Amen. Second thing God did is this. Now remember, we got a sin nature ultimately from Adam. So what did God do to resolve this? He made us a partaker of his nature.
Praise God.
2 Peter 1:4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. All of us have a sin nature through our parents. The sin nature that ultimately gets back to Adam, transferred by dad. It is a sin nature which makes it impossible for any of us not to sin. It is a sin nature which produces thoughts in the heart which are so bad. They move God to destroy an entire civilization except Noah and his family. It is a sin nature that produces thoughts which God will judge. It is a sin nature none of us can do anything to rid ourselves of. All of this means the sin nature in us dooms us all to hell. God's solution for this corrupt, damning sin nature that dooms all of us is he made you a partaker of his divine nature.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. I'm still trying to figure out why God would do that. God says, these poor, helpless, look at them. They can't help themselves. They're wicked, corrupt. They nauseate me. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do for them. Son, when you die on the cross, if you will get on that cross and pour out your soul unto me as a sacrifice for their sin. Son, if you will allow yourself to be beaten and bruised, the thorns through your skull, flesh ripped off your back from that Roman scourge. If you will allow yourself to have those nails driven through your wrists and your feet. And as a man, son, to do this, you got to take up on yourself a human nature and live with him. If you do this, I'll make those who say yes to you a partaker of my nature. See, those who are partakers of God's nature can never go to hell because God's nature cannot be in hell. I'm going to finish. I really pray you're beginning to see that the salvation Jesus worked out for us on the cross, it absolutely deals with every aspect of our sin which separates us from God. Sin which would absolutely send all to hell. The salvation God has given us through Jesus Christ, it is a full coverage policy. It covers every aspect of our sin. It has no deductibles. You don't have to pay up $100. It had a one-time premium. It's paid up in full by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Once and for all. Amen? I'm through. Father God, I praise and thank the Lord today. I really thank God that he did for us what we can never do for ourselves. I just have to speak for myself today. I know in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I'm so glad God, through His grace, saw beyond that and saw my need, that the song says. I'm so glad God took care of this sin nature that infects all of us, that depraves the mind, sears the conscience. I'm so glad He took care of it through our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I died with Christ on the cross. The old man is dead. He no longer has dominion over us. He no longer has dominion over me. I thank God for that. And I praise God that He has made those of us who are saved partakers of His nature, His divine nature. No part of God's divine nature can ever be lost. And I thank the Lord for that today. If there is any today and you are not saved, Jesus Christ. You know you have a sin nature. It works on you all the time. That sin nature you have on the inside of you is just as damning as stealing or murder or whatever. If you never committed another sin from this day forward, you would still have a sin nature in you that is repugnant to God. God has solved that problem through the cross of Jesus Christ. If there is one today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, the altar workers are here to minister to you. If there is one today, would you raise your hand? Pray for everybody in the building today that you really are saved. I know that might seem like a strange thing to pray, but the Lord often reminds me that Jesus had 12 and one of them was a devil. And none of the other disciples really knew it. So he played a good part. He was a good hypocrite. We don't want anybody in this church to slip through the cracks. Make sure that you are saved. Make sure you have repented of your sins. Believed on Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead. And you have confessed Him. And as a result, you keep on confessing Him as your Savior. Perhaps there's another, you are saved and you believe God wants you to be part of this ministry. We would love to have you. If there's one, would you just raise your hand today? Father God, I praise You and thank You for this day. I thank You for the marvelous grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise You and thank You for all things. I pray again for Sister Ford's father not doing well. Pray for Brother Clarence Mingo, that God will continue to touch his body. I pray for those in this church who need that job. Dear Lord, we praise You and thank You for each and everything today. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to journey with us through the sermon series, The Nature of Sin. We'll continue this series for the remainder of the week. So tune in as Dr. Kinlow expounds upon this topic from the Scriptures. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.